I recently discovered my remedy for feeling old. I started flying. I can't show you the video for the sake of time, but I might show you some videos later on if you stay tuned. Other weeks. Can you turn me down a tiny bit? I split it up into a couple training sessions, but I spent 7 days training for paramotoring, which is basically a two-stroke motor you strap to your back with a big fan, and you put a parachute on, and you fire it up, and you run, and you fly. And so, I'll show you some videos later, but they're too small. You won't want to gather around my phone, but it's pretty safe. I got some bruising, but it's pretty safe and pretty fun. So it's been amazing. I'll show you guys some stuff later, but that's been my remedy for approaching 40. It's like, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fly. So anyway, if you see me around, I actually flew last night at about 8 o'clock. And so it was a little bit windy. And so I didn't, and town is actually quite windier above town. The air currents are really weird. So I just flew over Stuart's house and turned around and came back and went up East Weaver. So anyway, if you see me flying around, it's a big blue parachute. You can't miss it. And if you wave at me, I can see you if you wave. I can't wave really. And so my wave, the way I do this, because that's what everybody does, is I kick my feet like this. So that's how I say, hey, I can see you. There you are. If I'm low enough, I can yell, which I didn't realize till after, but because I flew over her house and Ella came out and was waving and I kicked my feet at her and then I yelled. Well, there's a motor right on my back, so I can't tell. I obviously can't hear, but anyway, she said she could hear me. So anyway, yeah, I might be flying over your house sometime. Say hi if you hear me. Yeah, I'll be watching you. Yeah. Hey, be careful where you're sunbathing, please. Please be. Hey, that's a real thing, I know. Please be aware. Just send me a text and say, don't fly over here, or something. No problem, Molly. Oh, my goodness. On that note, welcome to church. I actually decided to talk about this today because of some of my experience. I got introduced into a culture and a world that I had never been in before in this training that I was at, and surrounded by this kind of interesting, different people. And oftentimes, a sport like this or an extreme sport like this, because it's so rare, there's this little micro culture, so to speak, I guess. And it was fun to kind of get to experience a completely different culture wrapped around something that's just completely different. And the instructors that I had, just really amazing people. They actually live in Nevada, and this is what they do for a living, is train people to fly. And they're a young couple, been married for 3 years, and like a lot of people, they had one or two church experiences in their past that weren't very good, and so they didn't think about it much. They were busy, you know, they travel and teach and train and fly, and so their life is busy, their life is good, and so they don't think much about God or about church or going, and they're just kind of doing their thing. Well, they met me, and through the course of spending 7 days with these people, we're really camping out, and we're there at this big property. It's like 500 acres, and it's got a big grass kind of runway, if you kind of picture that. And so everybody kind of stays there, and because you're subject to the wind, when the wind's good, you fly, and when the wind's not good, you just kind of sit there and wait for the wind to be good. And there was a lot of sitting around and just talking. And then, of course, over the course of all those days, what we do, what I do, and stuff kind of comes up. And really kind of towards the end, we started, you know, they started getting comfortable with me and I was comfortable with them. And we started talking a little bit about God and church, and they shared some of their experiences and I got to share some of mine. And it was really this fun conversation that, you know, it's not like it's rare to meet people that don't follow Jesus. That's not rare. But to spend 7 days in a pretty pretty connected with someone that doesn't is pretty rare for me anyway. And maybe a day or so here and there. But so it was really neat to get to know these people and really kind of just fall in love with them and what they do. And then, of course, they're training us. And it's just, you know, really a lot of intentionality and stuff. And so I actually began to kind of, in down times, I was preparing messages and just kind of reading and spending time with the Lord. And realized that I'm talking to them because there's nothing like being outside of church that makes you really think about what you actually believe. When someone that you care about starts asking you real questions. And so, you know, I'm just continually just boiling things down and continually. Also, it's kind of funny. You also realize the language that you speak is not everybody's language. And so a lot of times I spent just defining what it was that I'm even talking about. And so in talking about our culture, our church culture, even the word culture, I had to kind of like, you know, everybody has a different definition. It's not like there are words they don't know, but I have definitions and things that I mean that to me are really powerful. And they're like, yeah, culture, that's, you know. So one of the things we got spent a lot of time on was actually the family, the church family, which was a phrase that they didn't really understand. They're like, what do you mean a church family? To them, with some Catholic background and then a couple just churches that they've gone to, you know, the first word, if you would say God to them, would have been religion. And so, as you could probably understand, like that's like, well, if you know me, that's the opposite of what I want people to think. You know, and so what I want people to think, the first word when they hear God is Father. And so what I started talking about, the family of God and or the family, the church family, and then I believe that the structure that God set up originally on the earth that we're supposed to thrive in is the structure of family. And so I started talking about fathers and first our Heavenly Father, of course, but then earthly fathers, like how our spiritual fathers. And so it was this kind of really neat conversation. It went several hours a few nights ago when I was there and talking about basically love and that God actually, you know, and everything I'm saying, like, I believe, you know, I'm saying, well, I believe whatever. And so I started talking about that. I believe that God actually designed love, that He created it. That he was it, but out of, or he is it, he is love, but out of that he gave himself to us in love, and he perfectly illustrates it, but it also is his presence. And so the more we understand love, the more we understand God, and vice versa, the more we understand the true nature of God, the more we experience and understand love. And so I started talking to him that everything we do comes from our experience and understanding of love. And which, as you can imagine, it was completely new to them. People that had only experienced religion, control, fear. And so I started talking about actually that the unfortunate side effect of religion, and it's actually religion is, the idea of religion is control, and it's actually the absence of freedom. And that we believe in love and freedom. And freedom means that if you have that what you need is understanding and experience with the Lord. And when you have understanding and experience, then you can actually be free, meaning that the world, your circumstances, negativity, all these things don't actually control you, but actually you're controlled by your own identity and your relationship with God. And that's freedom. You can control yourself, right? The gift of the Spirit is self-control. the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so we started talking about this, and it was really fun to just kind of watch them. Like all of a sudden, I've been learning from them for all these days, and then all of a sudden they're just kind of sitting there learning and listening. And so I pulled this and developed kind of this message, and want to talk just for a few minutes about it. But the idea of our understanding and our grasp of love, and how important the way we see God in love and the way we see each other in love, and why I believe that it's far more important than anything else for us to get. And I also believe that until we can successfully reproduce something, we really don't have a solid grasp of it. And I think most of us would, I probably haven't said anything that any of us would really disagree with, like, yeah, love is really important. But what I want us to all grab a hold of is that we have room to grow, I guess. Because until the church itself is reproducing our understanding and our grasp of love, which meaning that when people meet us, when people connect with us, when people think about us, when people encounter us, if they're encountering anything other than love, we still got room to grow, right? And so that's where we are. That's what we're grabbing a hold of and what I want us to get. 1 Corinthians 13 says that these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. And I think that because love is so vast, we sometimes just skip over it. Like, yeah, love. Yeah, love. Yeah, we got to get that. Yep, that's important. Yep, God is love. And we sometimes forget how important that it really is. And oftentimes things are understood by the contrast. So the contrast of love really is, there's a bunch of things that contrast love, but is what we're going to talk about today is fear. Now, I've done lots of extreme things, and I like the adrenaline rush that comes from having a little bit of fear in my life of things. Paramotoring is scary. It's a scary thing to learn. There's a lot to think about. There's a fan that's spinning really fast on the back on your back that feels really close to you. There's a lot going on. And then, of course, you're flying. And so there's that aspect of it. And then what goes up must come down is still true. And as anybody who's ever flown will tell you, that it's actually the takeoff and the landing that's the scary part, whether you're in a plane, no matter what you're flying. And the reason why is because the dangerous part is the ground. And taking off and landing is when you're the closest to the ground. And so there's this healthy understanding of fear of what I'm doing. And of course, fear is a great motivator. It really is. Like, and when my trainer is sitting there telling me, you need to understand this. Now, everything you need to understand when I'm in this training, I realize is connected to my safety. Like, everything. So everything is, you need to understand, you need to get this. Okay, I'm like, okay, I'm as focused as I can be. And if you know me, that's difficult. I don't get very focused, so I'm trying really hard, and birds are flying, and I'm trying, I'm focused. I'm really focused as I can be. And what's motivating me really is fear. There's a fear that is a really, it's a really good motivator. It really is. But I believe that love is a greater motivator. I really do. And while fear was helping me grab a hold of things, there's a whole bunch of people that will never do what I just did and what I'm planning on doing because of fear. And so there's this balance of the fear. It's normal for us to avoid what we fear. It's just, that's normal. Like, if we're if you're talking about heights in this situation, it's like, well, I'm not going to do that. But there's also this love in me of adventure, and this of exploration, like this drive. And so actually the love overcame the fear. And so taking that out of the natural into kind of our emotional and our, you know, the rest of our life, is that we can look at our relationship with God. And while fear is a great motivator, it really is. Like, a lot of us have been in that experience where the fear of death, the fear of hell, the fear of punishment, the fear of things that are actually real in our relationship with God. You know, sin has a heavy consequence that we should be aware of, and awareness of that can create fear. We could call that fear, like an awareness. Like, how many of you guys know the awareness of falling out of the sky creates fear? Like, that's, you know, pain. Like, I don't want to, let's, you know, we're going to call that fear. So there is an understanding and a motivation that oftentimes we come into relationship with God motivated by fear. Now, I believe that fear can actually bring us into a relationship, but fear will never keep us there. And I believe because of this, God is actually love. So fear can get you there. Like, fear can get you through the door. Fear can even get you to the front, where you're on your knees going, I don't want to, you know, hell sounds scary and painful. I don't want to do that. So this sounds good. So I'm going to choose to believe you that this is right. But how many of you guys know you don't get to stay there? Because if you have an actual encounter, when you meet God, all of a sudden you do realize that God is love. And it might take a little bit, but love is going to slowly overpower fear. It doesn't mean that you forget about the possible consequences, it doesn't mean you forget about all that stuff, but all of a sudden there's this relationship of love. Now, if the only reason why you're there, the only reason why you came in the door was motivated by fear, when you start encountering love and the fear lifts, all of a sudden, if you don't transition to being motivated by love, you lose your motivation. I believe that's kind of the situation that we are kind of in, that the church has made the mistake of the primary motivation of bringing people into the kingdom or introducing them to the Lord has been fear. And we aren't as good at teaching love. We're good at talking about it. We're good at hanging it out there that it should be there. That, don't forget, God is love, and don't forget to love each other and serve each other. But we're just not as good at teaching it as we are about fear, because fear is easy to talk about. And I think it ends up in our culture, and this is what I'd love to begin to shift. And I think in this culture, which was fun to talk about with people that weren't here, is that as they shared some experience of church that they've had, I'm like, oh, that won't be your experience in our family. That wouldn't be your experience in our family. You know, it's not like people are still people and we make mistakes, and you know, I'm comfortable with that. But if people are willing to stick around for a little bit, they realize that in all of our mistakes, we do love pretty well in this place. But I think that culturally, we still have this really strong belief that fear is powerful, and oftentimes maybe even more powerful than love. Like I said, people usually avoid what they fear, but they will also pursue what they love. The challenge comes in is when you're afraid of the very thing that you love, you have this choice. The presence of fear can actually stop you from pursuing the thing that you love. So simply think about relationships amongst each other. If you've been hurt, if you've been... I was talking about this couple that I was talking to, and as soon as I brought up the word father, there was a trigger I could see. And she actually stopped me and was like, well, what do you mean, father? I was like, oh. And so I started asking her questions and got some comfort for her so I could explain what I was talking about. But see, the very thing that she needed, she was also afraid of. Right? And so what happened was she instantly, when I even mentioned the word father, before she knows what I'm talking about, the fear comes up, like, ooh, that's scary. So now she has this challenge of, she's known me for 6 days at this point. And so it was this interaction of me trying to reset some of the fear. And so I just talked about, like, actually what we need, we're designed to be in a family. And we need a father, and we need to be fathering. And I talked about that fathering is not it's not gender specific. It's not that it's Father God, you know, that's the source of our understanding of fathering. But that we, anyway, I'm not going to talk about that today. But the point being is that oftentimes what we love, we also fear. And there's this decision to let one be the main motivation in our lives. And so in John 13, it says, by all this, men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And then if you read on, it says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. Sorry, I went backwards there. But I want to grab two things out of this verse, and then we're going to do something else. But the command of loving each other is not... it is in the context that Jesus said of that you're loving each other as I have loved you. And then he gives that example of that the... later on down the line, he gives the example of laying down your life, that love is laying down your life for your friends. And he calls us friends. And now we aren't called necessarily to lay down our physical life for the ones that we love. However, the context or the calling is still the same. That the love that people will recognize, those people are disciples, is still a love that Jesus said is the same as that love that is laying down, the love that Jesus showed us, laying down his life for us. So what is it that we lay down in our lives? And the list is endless, what we grab a hold of. But the simple things are sometimes the hardest, you know, prejudices. Prejudice is plural. Convenience. How many of you guys love your life to be convenient? The couple I was talking about, they live in Reno, and I was talking about how I live a mile out of town on the other side of town. I have to drive through town to get to work, and it takes me 6 minutes. They were like, "We can't get from like the inside of our house to the end of our driveway in 6 minutes." And I know. You know, Weaverville is actually pretty convenient in a lot of ways. In some ways, it's really not. So convenience. Our preferences, what you prefer. How many of you know that being in a relationship, you have to lay down what you prefer oftentimes? Our finances. And probably most importantly, our time. I think that the world is looking for a people. They're scanning, and I think this is what Jesus was talking about. The world is looking for a people that will love like Jesus is talking about. Sacrificial love, like this love of not I'm nothing and now you're the most important thing going on. But a sacrificial love, meaning that I'll actually pay a price to be in relationship with people. And actually, Jesus' price was his life. We rarely, I don't know when the last time someone had to give up their life to be in relationship with somebody, but we do pay a price. We do pay a cost. There's a cost for relationship. If nothing else, it takes time. And time is the most valuable thing that we have. It takes time. It takes time just to show up. The other thing I want to point out is in 35 it says, by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. All men doesn't just mean, oftentimes we think about all men, or I just said the world, as being them out there. Like they will know if we love each other. But I'll tell you something else. We will know if we love each other as well. we recognize family by the way that we love, by the price that people will pay to be involved, by the price that people will pay for the connection. I know that, like, we're all busy. We're all have things going on all the time. And I said early on in my life that to say yes to one thing usually means you're saying yes to five or ten other things. I mean, no to five or ten other things. Right? To say yes to whatever it is, put anything in there. Say yes to anything that takes time or a thought. You're saying no to at least one other thing. Even if it's just time alone by yourself. You know, just to show up here today, it's a beautiful sunny day. It's a beautiful, you know, there's lots to do around here. You had to say no to all of that to be here. To be with each other, to worship together, to celebrate God together, to sit and listen to me preach. I appreciate it. Thank you. Right? We have to do that. It's a cost. And it's important that we understand that I believe that we each other are looking for this, but also that the world is looking for a people that are paying a price to be in relationship. Because most people are not. Most people are not willing to pay the price to be in a relationship. So, part of loving people really well includes, like I said, laying down our preferences, laying down our what we might think is best for us, and celebrating opportunities that come to people. And we have a cool opportunity this morning to celebrate part of our family, part of our team that has come upon an opportunity, and this opportunity is going to take them away from us. And so, Evan and Ferris, will you guys come up here? So, we're going to do something this morning. Now, we're not going to say goodbye to them yet, but they have a really cool opportunity. They have a really cool opportunity that's come their way, and they're going to share just a little bit if they can. And there'll be plenty of time. They're going to be here for the summer. But our, we've talked a lot about saying goodbye to people, and we just last week said, I know, this is not my timing. It's their fault. But it does need to, you know, how many of you guys know when you've got to tell a whole group of people that your plan is changing and you're moving, you got to do it kind of strategically, try to get everybody to find out at the same time. And so that's kind of how this is working, Eva's needing to let her job know and all that. So it all kind of has to happen at the same time. And also, probably even more important than anything else is letting the kids know, you know, that they've developed just an amazing relationship, fathering and mothering our kids. And so they did that this morning. And so then coming over and letting you guys know kind of what they're doing a little bit. And you guys can share as much or as little as you want. There'll be more time later on. Like I said, they're going to be spending most of the summer with us. And so...
Me to talk first?
I'll talk before I start breaking down. Okay. So Ferris and I have been given the opportunity to be the head administrators at a high school, which is pretty darn cool. That's in Texas, where I'm from. It's actually the high school that I went to. Yeah, Texas. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. It's called Valley Christian High School. It's the high school that I learned about God, and I learned how to prophesy, and I learned how to love people, and I learned how to just do amazing things. And so it's really cool to go back and be able to do that. And we won't be there until August. And it was a really hard decision to make because we just love Trinity County so much. And we love you guys, you know. And so it's pretty awesome, though. Like, I never would have thought that God would entrust us with so much, you know? So that's cool.
Yeah. Listening to you makes me want to tear up, but I'm going to force it back. Okay. Actually, as I was hearing Cameron speak about counting the cost, I actually was reminded of a song that used to be an old hymn. It talks about counting the cost, and you counted all as lost for the sake of knowing Christ. And that's just what we feel like we're doing. We are we want to know God more, and being in relationship with Him means following what He asks us to do and where He calls us to go. And so we love you guys. And we love your kids. They're amazing. It's been an awesome 3 years here working with them. And if I could just encourage you at all, you can learn so much from children about how to love without agenda. Like, they come into relationship and they don't have expectations necessarily, except pure innocent ones of, hey, you'll be my friend and I'll be your friend. And so it's really, just to let you know, it's really a sweet time of giving our announcement to them, because some of them were so excited for us. And others, you know, were having emotions that they were excited, but they were, you know, a little sad. But just, it's good to know that we'll always be friends, and we can come visit. I'm sure that'll happen. So, yeah, there you go.
Awesome.
And we had two kids that had dreams of us this morning moving, so that was really cool, because they were like, wow, I had a dream this morning that you all were moving. They're amazing.
That's awesome.
Just saying.
That's good. So, and I know some of you guys don't know Evan Ferris and don't know what they've been doing, but so we, for quite a while before they came, so Shannon and I have been here for, be 9 years this month. And, until 3 years ago, we kind of had different volunteers and people moving in through the nursery, and Shannon did a lot of it, honestly. I know a bunch of you guys all jumped in and helped out over the past years. And so what we wanted to do was to figure out how we could really, like, while volunteers are absolutely wonderful, if we could get somebody to spend full time with our kids, that would be amazing. And so basically we hired them as they graduated Simpson. And at first they were just commuting up on Sundays, and just kind of fell in love with Weaverville and fell in love with Mount Chapel and decided to move up, I think, after a year. Did you guys do it for a year? 9 months or something. And so have been, you know, we don't always think about it, but the sacrifice of being with our kids is actually missing church every Sunday. And so, you know, it takes this extra effort to, like, while leading the kids is wonderful, they do a wonderful job, but also staying connected to a family that you don't, you know, it's kind of like family dinner, you know, it's like family dinner is what everybody reconnects. Sunday morning is that for us, like family time, everybody reconnects, and they're with our kids. And so I know a lot of you guys don't know them, but they're a crucial, you know, part of our team and part of what happens on Sunday morning, even though it's not necessarily seen. But when I stop talking and what you hear is this, that's because of them. That's because of them. You know, the ability for parents to bring their kids in and focus during worship, like have worship time without your kids. You know, we went back and forth about it all, I understand, but to have some personal adult worship time is just so powerful and so such a blessing. And so, you know, these guys have been really, it's kind of like the sound team too. You don't always see them. You don't even notice them unless something goes wrong. And it's kind of like this thankless job. And these guys are over there doing the same thing. Like, you don't really notice, but it's really crucial to just think about, like, how amazing it's been for 3 years to have our kids. It's funny to say it like this, but to have our kids not here. But on the other hand, on the other part of it is to have them loving our kids so well. They just, that album they just put out, it's the second album they put out with our kids. We're going to end with a video in just a second that explains how one of those songs was written. It's pretty amazing. And, you know, what we'll probably miss most about Evan Ferris is they're two of the most, team-wise, two of the most creative people I've probably ever met. You know, we started having them a couple years ago do our family campfire music and singing songs they had written and singing youth songs, kids songs with us. And just their presence here has just been amazing. Like I said, they're going to be here through the summer to hang out with us, and they're taking kids next week to kids camp. And so they're fulfilling a lot of the stuff that's on their heart in the next couple months before they go. But obviously, moving into an administrative position at high school, they got to be there for when school starts again and all that. So that'll come, and we'll keep you guys in there. But they're not going to be in here on Sunday mornings. They're still going to be with our kids. They're still going to be doing their thing. And we're going to send them off in just a second and kind of pray for them. But the other thing is, as a family, what I want you guys to pray for is what happens next. And so I know it's huge on their heart that the kids are taken care of, that the kids, that we have vision for that. And so really kind of figuring out, like, what we do, whether God brings somebody else in for us. And so just to be praying about that as you're thinking about them and you're thinking about Mountain Chapel, as you pray, just pray that God brings the perfect person or couple to kind of pick up and carry the momentum that they've been building over the last 3 years. So really crucial, really important. And then also just praying for our kids. Those of you that have kids over there that just got some news, try to help them figure out, experience, you know, what it's going to be like to experience loss. Like, it's you know, especially if they've been with them every week, it's a close relationship. And little kids especially, they don't know what they're supposed to feel. Am I supposed to be sad? Am I supposed to be happy? What am I supposed to do? And really, everything. They're supposed to do everything. They're supposed to feel it all. And when they're sad, be sad with them. And when they're happy, celebrate with them. If they need to call and talk, then call and talk. You know, whatever they need to do, just this next 3 months is helping walk through, celebrating, also mourning. Like, those are all real good opportunities to do with your kids. And so, and these guys will help with that in any way they can. And so will we. So, anyway, it's an amazing time. It's sad and amazing at the same time. So we're having the experience too, where we celebrate. And like I said, loving people really well, loving these guys really well, is realizing that, you know, when we first started talking about this months ago, realizing the first thing, you know, that kind of came across my mind was like, darn, this is going to be, dang. But as they're telling me and talking about the opportunity, it's like, oh yeah, this is definitely. And, you know, we asked questions and went through the things, but it's like, oh, this feels like the Lord and feels like an amazing opportunity. And so this balance of celebration and loving them really well. So let's play this video. It's a few minutes. And, nope, not that one, the other one. And then the video will go just for a few minutes. And it's just to let you guys know a little bit more of what their heart was and what they did with this album. And then we're just going to pray and send them off. And then we'll go. We should be. There we go.
Hello. You guys will probably notice that this was actually a video that was shown yesterday at our album release party for all the kids. And so there is a reference in there to high five a kid. You know, you're all children of God, so you can high five each other. All right. So there you go.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, welcome to Cartwheels Release Party. Woo! Go ahead and find a child nearest to you and give them a great big high five. All right.
The song you're going to hear next is a song called The Wave.
it was entirely written by kids, and that's how we wrote it.
So one morning we woke up and we thought, hey, if we could ask the kids a question, what would it be? And we thought, if there was one thing that you could tell the entire world about the God that you know and love, what would it be? And these are their answers.
So we took all their answers in one of our songwriting sessions, put it all together, and made it rhyme, and that's what you've been hearing.
Enjoy.
Can you pause it for a second? So you guys are going to hear the song in a second, but I wanted to make sure you understood what they just said and make sure you got it really clear, because it makes the song that much more powerful. So they asked what, I don't want to mess up what you asked, so what did you ask the kids?
Hello? Hello? Hey, so we actually asked if there was one thing that you could share with the world about the God that you know and love, what would it be?
And then they gathered up all those answers,
yeah.
And this is the song that was written out of. So basically, the kids wrote this song. So this is their lyrics that they came up with in answer to that question. Go ahead.
God is there to show me the path before me. He is the light that's showing me the way. He was there before me. He shows me I'm worthy. He is a great big promise that never breaks.
We can see the names of the kids are on your knees too. Isn't that awesome? That's just amazing. So, like I was saying, one of the things that I think I'll miss about the most is their just creative ideas. What a wonderful idea. Like, I just wouldn't even have thought of that. That's amazing. So what we're going to do is we're going to send these guys out just with prayer. They're not leaving, and so they're not leaving yet. And so we'll kind of do like we did with Dixon and Teresa on their last Sunday and kind of send them out. But really... As you know, when you prepare to leave, sometimes can be kind of the most strenuous time, you know, all the plans and where we're going to live and how are we going to move and how are we going to afford it and how all this stuff. So really what I want to do right now is specifically, if you guys have prophetic words or anything like that, please write them down for them, for what's going on. I just release you guys to do that. But what I want to do is really just pray for the next 2 months that they go smoothly, and that... yeah, really, that they just go smoothly and with peace and stuff for you guys. And then before they leave, we'll kind of send them out and do that. But I'd encourage you two things. Like I said, prophetic words, if God speaks to you about them, please write them down and get them to them throughout the next couple months. And then also, if you guys are feeling led to give them money, it's expensive to move. And so feel free to just to do that. Just sow into them, sow into their future. And like I included in the list, like the cost of loving people, sometimes it's as simple as investing your finances in them. So anyway, yeah, encourage them. And would you guys just come up? And I just want to pray for you guys. And if you guys would just extend a hand to them, and we're just going to pray just real quick. And Lord, we just thank you for these guys. We thank you for the privilege of having them on our team and having them loving our kids for the last couple years, 3 years. What an investment they've made here. And we pray as they prepare to move on to the next big thing, the next big thing that you're doing with them, the next great opportunity, that you would just be with them in peace and planning, that every move would be with grace and with your grace and with your mercy. And we pray that things would just fall in place, and they would easily see in everything that happens your hand. The obvious hand of a loving father in their planning. So we just thank you, Lord, for these guys that you're raising up, that we got the privilege to spend some time with. Amen. Bless you guys. I love you. Yeah. Amen. So that's not very fun. But it's good. It's also just, it's amazing. It's part of our destiny as this place is to get poured into and pour into and then send out. And like the difference between a garden and a nursery. You know, these are plants that we got to pour into, watch them grow, watch them develop. And then now we're moving them to replanting them somewhere else, and they're going to grow and be just amazing and pour into another place. So I'm just going to pray one more time and then just release you guys. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that you are always moving our behalf. We thank you that you loved us so well and gave us such a great example of how to love each other. And especially during challenging times, Lord, teach us to lay down and to live a sacrificial love towards you and towards each other, because we know that the world, that everyone will know that we are following you by the way we love each other. And we just thank you for just an amazing example that is Jesus Christ. We pray that the next 2 months, well, I just pray for all this summer for all of us. It's just a wonderful time of connection and family, and that we just have a blast together. In your name we pray. Amen.